Hello and welcome into another edition of your favorite podcast. We are going to be breaking down the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 in the March Madness bracket, man. What a great first round. And then this round in the Elite 8 looked to be phenomenal. It should live up to the hype. So I'm going to be breaking all that down, some NBA news as we come down to the final stretch of the NBA season, and some other golf news, tournament Houston Open coming up. So before we get started, make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. You get your podcast at Burgers and Brats, and stay up to date with the latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. And hopefully you're watching live on Millions.co at Burgers and Brats. So broke down the round of 64, round of 32 last week. Had some phenomenal games. Like I said, it wasn't really much madness in the terms of upsets. There are a lot of close games. I mean, obviously Kentucky lost, but otherwise, I mean, the lowest seed we have is an 11th seed, NC State making it to the Sweet 16, and then other than that, Clemson is a 6th seed. Everyone else, 5 and below. So really not too big of upsets, as we saw like the last 2 years. And I really thought NIL and there would be more parity in the league for that. But no, major teams making it, so playing great. For this weekend, I mean, there's 8 games. All 8 are phenomenal. There's one game that I probably don't really care about. It may not be as well, which may be Clemson-Arizona. I mean, that could still be a great game. Maybe UConn just blows out San Diego State, but I mean, for sure, 6 of these games are going to be, I think, all 8 could come down to last-second shots. The final minute of the game could be tied. It is going to be a phenomenal Sweet 16. One of the best Sweet 16s we've ever seen, for sure. This is going to be legendary. Legendary March Madness coming down to it. So let's start breaking down some of these games. Thursday, 6:09 Central on CBS. First game, we got Clemson versus Arizona. I mean, this is going to be a really good matchup, I think. Clemson, second lowest seed in the Sweet 16. They got through Baylor, which I think was an upset pick. I had Baylor in that one, beating Clemson. But Arizona, 49% from the field. That is phenomenal work. That is really good. I mean, Caleb Love, the transfer from North Carolina coming in, he's done really good things for this team. But they're only 72% from the free throw line. And like I said, if these games come down to it, it is going to be won by free throws at the end. And 72% is not going to win you games. Clemson, on the other hand, 78% from the free throw line, which is, I mean, about average for most of these colleges, but that's 5% difference. That's a couple made free throws extra, and that will definitely help you in this game. Arizona, 13 offensive rebounds, so they get the opportunities for the second chance points compared to Clemson only getting 9 offensive rebounds per game. Free throws, offensive rebounds, that's how you win games. I mean, if you're up big in those categories, you're more than likely going to win a game or at least be in consideration to win it in the final minutes. Another big stat here is the steals per game. Arizona averaging 9 steals per game, while Clemson only averaging 4.5. These are big swings right here. I mean, favors Arizona defensively. They're a really good defensive team. You get second chance points, and you get fast break. Those are fast break points that more than likely lead to a layup, get you out in front of everything. So those are big categories to be ahead of. Clemson, they use all 11 guys. They use 11 guys, really, and they use them well. They got a bunch of guys who get a bunch of points, and that's good. I mean, no one on this Clemson, there's one player that, two players average 0 points. Otherwise, everyone's averaging some points for this team, and that's really huge to be able to rely on at least someone to go get a single bucket is big in these type of matchups. They all know how to ball for this team, but I mean, Arizona's a 2-seed for a reason. These guys can play as well. Everyone averages at least something for this Arizona team, so a lot of guys in the single digits for Arizona for this team. There's only one player that averages over 13 points a game. They only have one player, and that's Love. He averages 18 points a game. So they are going to need at least their guys who just get in the single digits to make their shots that they take every single day. So, I mean, you got Love at 18, Larson averaging 13, right at 13. And otherwise, you only have one other player, or you have two other players in double digits with Paolo and following Johnson. So that's it. These guys gotta step up if they want to pounce on the Tigers. If they want to pounce on them, they gotta get out. They gotta make their shots. So can't just rely on Love, even though he is their best player. Arizona is good. I think Clemson can hang in this one. I do think they can hang. Kind of towards the week, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a blowout. Arizona's gonna blow them out. I think Arizona wins, but Clemson. If it comes down to free throws, definitely has a chance. But I think Arizona is a really good team, and kind of get rid of that history of them losing in the tournament, and they get a big win here. So going to Arizona over Clemson. Next here we got 6:39 p.m. Central on TBS. We got number 5 San Diego State versus number 1 UConn. This is a rematch of the title game from 2023. Can you ask for much better? Can you ask for that? How often do we see that as a Sweet 16 matchup? We really don't see that. So that's awesome. I think this game needs a lot more hype in it. This is going to be a pretty good game. San Diego State, I mean, they were a 4 or 5 seed last year. Made it to the championship game. So they know how to do it. They know how to get there. UConn is 50% from the field. 50%. You don't see teams that get to 50%. There's only one or two other ones that are close in the bracket, but 74% from free throws. Both teams are completely even on rebounds, 38 rebounds per game and 12 offensive rebounds per game. Like I said, second chance opportunities are big in this tournament. One basket can sway the entire game. UConn likes to spread the ball out. Their guys get involved through the team. The team is deep. This UConn team is very deep. And that's why they average 18 assists per game. They know how to spread it, know how to share the love. San Diego State only 13. So San Diego State really relies on Ladie for getting all their buckets. He's the only one averaging more than 20 points a game. And the only one that is over 10 points a game is Ladie. So you got a few guys that are averaging 9 points a game, but man, they're going to have to spread that ball out. They're going to have to. Other playmakers and their role guys get buckets if they want to hang with this UConn team. Ladie's going to have 30. Ladie can put the team on his back and get 30, and they can definitely stay close in this one. But UConn, they got 5 players with double-digit figures. And I just think this UConn team is so deep, so good. That's why I picked them to win March Madness this year, go back-to-back. And I think this team can. We'll see how they play against San Diego State, who's still a decent team, but you got a lot riding on from last year, you got the hype riding on from this year, and see if it kind of too much weight on your shoulder, but I think the UConn team can definitely handle it. All right, next game we got Alabama versus North Carolina, 4-1. This game, 8:39 p.m. Central on CBS. This is going to be awesome. North Carolina looks amazing. Bama kind of struggled against Grand Canyon. They looked great off with the offensive rebounds. That's how they won that game. Offensive rebounds, second chance points over Grand Canyon. But they just kind of got through Grand Canyon. North Carolina, on the other hand, down a little early to Michigan State. Didn't start hot, but they dominated that. I mean, end of the first half and then whole second half, North Carolina just made it their game. It's a super even matchup, really. Bama, though, they are better field goal percentage-wise, free throw percentage, and three-point percentage. Field goal percent, Bama shooting about 48, North Carolina 45. Three-point, both about 36%. And then free throws, Bama shooting 78.5%, while North Carolina shooting 75.5%. So, like I said, this game will probably come down to free throws as well and making your buckets. Alabama, not as many buckets as they should have last week, but looked great on the offense rebounds. That's how you're going to – you got to get rebounds against Baycott and North Carolina. You get the rebounds, get those second-chance points against this North Carolina team that can score the basket. It's going to be pretty good. Sears is their best Bama player, averaging 21 points a game. I mean, North Carolina, only four players sniffing double digits. So you thought this team would be – I mean, it's deep. But you thought a bunch of guys would average a lot more points. But you're spreading the ball out, getting other players involved. I mean, one guy's not hot. They're sharing it. They're getting it to the other guys that are feeling themselves. So I got to love that if you're the head coach. Baycott needs a monster presence on the inside. Monster presence on the inside, getting rebounds, not letting Alabama crash the boards. And I think this game can definitely be close. I mean, Alabama's really good at shooting the ball. They're good from inside the arc, beyond the arc, and from the line. So that's how you beat this North Carolina team. If you have better stats than them, you better show out and prove to everyone that you can actually hang and handle them and shoot better than them. So lights out from beyond the arc. I do think North Carolina is the better team here. I'm not going to go upset. I do think Bama can definitely keep it close, can definitely have a one-possession game towards the end, but I think North Carolina is just too good. Give me North Carolina. This is what we're gonna find out if these teams are legit Sweet 16, if these one seeds deserve to be one seeds. So finally, Thursday night, 9:09 p.m. Central on TBS, number 3 Illinois versus number 2 Iowa State. This game is very hard to pick for me. I've had this in my Sweet 16 matchup, and it's still tough for me to pick. This is one of the 2 versus 3 matchups, and it's two conference champions coming together playing each other in the Sweet 16. What else can you ask for? Two Power 5 conference champions coming together and playing for a chance at the Elite 8. I'm excited for this one. This one is very underrated, and it is going to be a classic, I believe. This game is going to be a classic one. We're going to be talking about for years to come. Iowa State, 69% from the free throw line, though. That's below 70. In a game where this game is 1,000% going to come down to free throws, and you're shooting 69%, that's not good. That's not good. I picked Iowa State earlier in the, before the bracket started, had them over the Illini. But, I mean, looking at these stats, I mean, Illinois, 74% free throw shooter. They just got 1% better at the field goal percentage, shooting at 47%. Both shoot about 30. Both shoot right at 35% from the three. So, not great, not efficient from beyond the arc. So, which team, if they're not making the threes, kind of chill out and go to their other stuff instead of just forcing these three pointers and hoping they fall? Also, rebounds. Like I said, rebounds are the biggest thing. Illinois, 28 rebound defense rebounds per game. Iowa State, only 23. Illinois, 13 offense rebounds per game. Iowa State, only 11. So that's a couple possessions that just swayed the game right there. I mean, that could be 6 extra points for a team just getting rebounds. But this Iowa State team locked in on defense. 10 steals a game. 10.5 steals per game. Illinois, only 4.5 steals a game. That's points right there. That's fast break points that get you easy buckets. That could be 10 points right there. Right there that helps sway something. So it's going to be fun. This is going to be a great matchup. I mean, Shannon Jr. for Illinois, 23 points a game. Iowa State, no one over 13 points a game. No one. But they have deep rosters and guys that can shoot on all cylinders and come off the bench if you need them to. I like both these teams. I wish both these teams to go to the Elite Eight. But I'm taking the Illini in this one over Iowa State. Illinois just looked a little better to me. So give me the Fighting Illini to close out Thursday's games and go to the Elite Eight. All right, Friday. These are great games as well. This Friday is what I'm looking forward to. My goodness. This first game, NC State versus Marquette. 11 seed NC State versus number 2 Marquette. 6:09 p.m. Central, CBS. This is the biggest spread of all the games. This can be an upset. This game can easily be an upset. And This NC State team can definitely hang. Marquette did not look great. They played Western Kentucky. They didn't look great against Colorado. Had a chance to lose the game there. It was a close game. But this NC State team, guys, yeah, they played an Oakland team. They went to overtime against Oakland. Oakland got some shooters. Jack Golkey, man. Trey Townsend. Those guys are ballers for Oakland. They could hang with anyone. They beat Kentucky. So, yeah, NC State had an easier path to... Well, you can't even say that, really. You really can't even say NC State had an easier path. But they look really good. NC State looks pretty good. Only shooting 45% from the field, though. Marquette shooting 48%. That is a big disparity right there. That is huge. Honestly, though, both shooting about 35, 36% from the three. NC State a little better at the free throw line. And it came down to the free throws for NC State. That's how they won this game. NC State out-rebounding offensively and defensively over Marquette. Marquette, though, got some ballers, man. That's why they got so many. 16 assists per game. They got some great teams. Shaka Smart, great coach. They've got some ballers on Marquette. And... I mean, Horn, he needs 20-plus for NC State. Horn's got to have 20-plus for NC State if they want to stay in this game. But, man, can we talk about Burns Jr., baby? Big fella. Feel the burn. Oh, my, I love watching this kid play. I love watching him play. That's going to be fun against Marquette and their big guys down low. So, Marquette, you can't go crazy with the three-pointers if they're not falling because you can easily get buckets. On the inside. Maybe you can't go against Burns, but I think you can get some buckets inside the arc because you got so many good playmakers around you. NC State got to get to the free throw line, and they've been doing that. They've been getting the free throw line more than Marquette in this tournament, and I expect them to do the same. Burns, take it down low. NC State, or Marquette, I mean Jones, you got Kolick, and some other players that are getting some double-digit points for you, but I'm inclined to take the upset here. This is probably my biggest upset pick of March Madness. NC State over Marquette. Why not? Why not take it? Give me NC State, baby. Give me the Wolfpack over the Golden Eagles. Come on. You know a Wolfpack going to take down some Golden Eagles. You know that. Give me the Wolfpack. NC State over over Marquette. All right, next game. Number three, Creighton versus number two, Tennessee. This game is what I'm looking forward to as well. 3-2, the other 3-2 game, 9:09 p.m. Or actually, let's start with not what you say with this game. All right, this is the nightcap for Friday, 9:09 p.m. Central on CBS. Number three Creighton versus number two Tennessee. This could be the best overall matchup or best overall game. It really could be. This Friday is just so good. This game. Highly underrated, in my opinion. This Creighton team, this Tennessee team, ballers, baby. They got some ballers on there. Tennessee, 8 steals a game, though, versus Creighton's 4. That's fast rate points. That's 8 points right there that can help you. Creighton, 49% from the field, while Tennessee is only 45%. So 49 versus 45%. That's some extra buckets for Creighton. And, man, they lit it up versus Oregon in that second half, in that second overtime. That Oregon versus Creighton game, phenomenal to watch. I mean, I love me some McDermott coaching. This Creighton team, they got some ballers, man. Oh, they got the guy who looks like, oh, can't remember his name, Fight Club. But Creighton, this is a really good team out of the Big East. The Big East was one of the best conferences in the country this year, and they did great in the tournament. So this Big East conference can definitely play versus the SEC, who did not look good in the tournament. And we got the guy who looks like Edward Norton from Fight Club and a bunch of other stuff. But Crane's got that player. It's gonna be fun to watch him ball out. Just watch the game, you'll know what I'm talking about. He looks like Edward Norton, so pay attention to that. Free throw line, Creighton, they got shooters, so they can shoot some free throws. 78% from the free throw line, Tennessee 75%. Creighton 36% from three, Tennessee 34%. Tennessee does out-rebound Creighton on the offensive glass, 11.5 versus 8.5. Defense rebounds, though. Creighton's getting 30 rebounds a game. 30 rebounds a game for Creighton, baby. And I mean, oh my, that's just Kalkbrenner, baby. That's just Kalkbrenner being down there in the paint, blocking shots, getting boards. Didn't put up too much in the second half, or at least in the first. Yeah, in the second half, kind of early on, he wasn't doing much, but kind of stepped it up towards the end, and that's why they pulled out that win versus Oregon. But another big thing, steals for Tennessee, averaging eight a game. Creighton, 4 a game, so that's double. That's 8 points right there. This game, so much fun. Tennessee, 17 fouls a game. Creighton, like I said, good at the free throw line. They're going to get some free throw shots. You make those shots, I think this game could run away. This game could run away if they get to the line. Neck, though, I mean, he's a baller. Best player for Tennessee, one of the best players in the country. Going to have to shut him down. He's averaging 21 points a game. James, you get 30 minutes, but you need more than 88 points average there to get a win. I'm in love with this Creighton team, guys, and I'm picking them to beat Tennessee. This is my matchup. This is my Sweet 16 matchup from before the bracket started, and this is what I'm sticking with, Creighton over Tennessee. All right, and then another these games are going to feed families. These games are feeding families this weekend. Duke versus Houston. Oh, could we have asked for anything better here? This is phenomenal. Old blood, new blood. Is Duke going to pass the torch to Houston? There's a big chance they might, and Houston's favored in this one. Houston, this game, 8:39 p.m. Central on CBS, number 4 Duke, number 1 Houston. Houston coming off an incredible overtime, some perseverance right here to beat Texas A&M. I mean, rivalry. You had 4 of your 5 players sitting out in the fourth quarter and overtime. And you win this game, you get have a buzzer beater on you, and you win this game. Pretty crazy. Houston, stay out of foul trouble. If you get in foul trouble against this Duke team, you're probably not gonna win. It's not the old Duke. It's still a good Duke. It can't be in foul trouble. Duke, though, they are better from the free throw line, from the field goal percentage, and from 3 points. I mean, 4 points better in all three categories right there. 4 points better, percentage points better, in field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage. Houston, shooting 69.5% from free throw. Duke shooting 73%. 3-point. Duke shooting 38%. Houston shooting 35%. Field goal percentage. Duke shooting 48%. Houston shooting 43.5%. Guys, this is going to be a close game. This will be a one-possession game. And Duke is that much better in all these categories? Houston just got that defensive lockdown. They get 4 more boards, offensive boards, than Duke. Duke, though, spreading the ball. Filipowski, this whole Duke team, spreading the ball, getting 16 assists per game, which is a ton. Duke getting 4 more steals a game at 10 steals a game. I'm not turning the ball over as much. I mean, everything points to you taking Duke in this game. Houston, knowing to kind of be great in the regular season, lose only 2-3 games, and then just getting to the Sweet 16, Elite 8, and just can't finish a job and getting beat. That happened last year. But... And this Duke team, if they've got the history, they know how to win these games, even if it's not the same players that are there. Filipowski, you got to show you're legit. You got to do it. You got to show that you can feed families. Roach and Proctor need to ball out as well. And then Houston, they are deep with bucket getters. These guys can step up and get a bucket. We saw that. I feel confident in this Houston team because they had nobody playing in the fourth quarter in overtime, and they still got to win. So I feel more confident in this Houston team and getting a victory over a really good Duke team. But they know not to foul. They know stay out of trouble, hit shots that are elite, don't force anything. Cryer, Sharp, and Sheed, only players with double figures for Houston. So may have to have another guy or two step up as well. Offense, rebound, second chance points, like I said, Houston a little better at that. Duke can definitely pull off this upset. I think many people are taking Duke, could take Duke to pull off this upset just looking at the box scores and the stats. But give me Houston, baby. Why not? I know Houston is hungry for a championship. Give me the Cougs over the Devils. That game is at 8:39 p.m. Central on CBS. All right, 6:39 Central, second game on Friday on TBS. Guys, this game as well. Oh, my gosh. Gonzaga versus Purdue. Five Gonzaga versus number one Purdue. This is what I had going into the March Madness. This is why this game is going to feed families as well. Sheesh. Gonzaga doing what they always do, reaching their fifth straight Sweet 16. Taking on a Zach Edey and a Purdue team that just doesn't want to get upset and make it to the championship and have that weight lifted off their shoulders. They've got so much pressure on themselves. Gonzaga, hey, they know what this pressure is about. They went undefeated season and lost in the championship to Baylor in 2021. They know the pressure. There's no pressure for Gonzaga this year. There's none. This is the first time in a long time Gonzaga hasn't had the pressure of making it to the championship and winning. And we usually see these teams, these college teams just kind of fold under that pressure with the chip on their shoulder. We saw it last year with Purdue. I mean, Gonzaga's got nothing to lose. They're going to play free will. Purdue, clutch up a little bit. This is their first big test. They looked great in their first two games. Put up 106 points last week. Incredible. Doing that in a March Madness game. Gonzaga is shooting 51.5% from the field. 51.5%. Purdue shooting about 49%. Now, Gonzaga is getting all their points inside the arc, not from deep, because shooting 35% from three. Purdue shooting 40% from three. That is very impressive as well. Those two stats, the Gonzaga field goal percentage and the Purdue three-point percentage, you don't see that. You rarely, if ever, see that from college teams. Efficient in their shot-making and shot selection. Incredible. Both 72.5% from the free throw line, both getting about 40 rebounds a game, both about 12 rebounds a game, both getting about... Purdue's got about one more assist at 18 compared to 17 for Gonzaga. I mean, this is just an incredible matchup. This is going to be so much fun to watch. This game, I am so stoked for Gonzaga versus Purdue. Purdue, I mean, if they come out, both these teams could come out hot. I mean, Gonzaga get stuff inside. If Gonzaga's three-pointers are falling, maybe over for Purdue and Zach Edey. Just take your quality shots. Take what you usually do. Don't force anything. Yeah, it's a number one team. Purdue, you cannot go out scared and playing like you gotta second guessing your shots. You can't second guess your shots. Do what you've been doing all year. That's why you're number one seed. That's why you got this far. Don't second guess yourself. Go play loose. Play loose, don't play tight and timid. That's how you lose games. Man, Zaga, not really anyone to show Zach Edey. Oh, this game, I can definitely see the upset here. I want to pick the upset. I want to pick Gonzaga over Purdue. But Purdue has looked really good in their last two games. Gonzaga's looked really good beating Kansas, but Purdue has looked phenomenal, and I'm taking... Oh, I'm taking Purdue in this one. I can't believe I'm doing it after they just let me down last year. I didn't say I said I wouldn't trust them that much, but this is our last chance. I mean, I really like this Kentucky team. I think they can definitely win this game. But I'm taking Purdue in this one. All right, that's my Sweet 16 picks, baby. That's it. That's the picks for this weekend. Definitely some close ones, guys. This is going to be one of the best Sweet 16s we have ever seen. Any game can sway a different way. I really look forward to Duke versus Gonzaga. Could be some teams that pull off the upset. And I think NC State gets the win over Marquette. That's my major upset on this one. So, all right. Moving into on this day in history. 1891, the first World Heavyweight Championship in London, England. 1959, some like it hot. The movie starring Marilyn Monroe premieres in New York City. Great movie. Gotta love Marilyn. 1795. Ludwig Beethoven, who was 24 at the time, has his debut performance as a pianist in Vienna. Happy birthday, Rick Barry, Lady Gaga, great Oklahoman, Reba McEntire, and the legend Cy Young. That's on this date in history, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Hefner Eye Care, where April 8th, so just under 2 weeks from now, the solar eclipse will be going across the Midwest, Mexico, U.S., and Canada, and it'll be across in Oklahoma. Check them out, Hefner Eye Care. We're going to be having a trunk show. Come get free gifts, cool prizes, food, drinks, and check out the latest eyewear at Hefner Eye Care. Great collection over there. So check them out, HefnerEyeCare.com, or located 5757 Northwest 122nd Street in 132nd Street in Oklahoma City. Trunk show April 8th, starting at 1 p.m. Central. All right, let's go into some other sports news real quick. Let's start with the Texas Children's Houston Open in, obviously, Houston, Texas this week. Par 70, purse, $9.1 million. Got a bunch of guys coming back for this one after the players. Scottie Scheffler looking for his third straight win. In 12 PGA tournaments this year, seven winners have been plus 10,000 long shots to win, and they've won seven of the 12. Really impressive there. A lot of variety in golf this year. The favorites for the week, Scottie Scheffler at plus 260, Wyndham Clark at plus 1,200, Will Zalatoris at plus 2,000, Degala at plus 2,000 as well, and then the defending champ, Tony Finau, plus 2,200. A lot of people kind of fading him this week. This is not at a private course. This is not what the PGA players are used to. It's a municipal golf course with 60,000 rounds played a year. So hopefully it's in great shape. Hopefully not too much complaining from these guys. But, I mean, this is not going to be what they're used to, playing private great events, especially not like the Masters. Coming up in 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks. There's only 21 bunkers on this course. Let me play this course. I want to go play it. There's going to be some very low scores here. Very low scores for some of these guys. It's kind of some of my picks for the week. I think underrated, I think you can go Jason Day, Kenton Yama, Gary Woodland, and then Cameron Young could be kind of some of those underrated guys going into the week who could have kind of long shots who can definitely make a run. And then overrated for me, I got Tom Hoagie, Luke List, Jake Knapp, Siwoo Kim, and Alex Noren, kind of those top guys up there that are kind of decently favorites. I think don't think play up to standard, even though it's, I mean, easy course, but you got some of these other big names coming in, and they're going to definitely play better than them. So top 10 lock for me, I mean, you got to go, I'm going to go Cam Davis, Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark, just, man, he's been playing great, Will Zalatoris, and Scottie Scheffler. So I think kind of those favorites are definitely some locks for this week. Scotty, I think, obviously, top five lock. Zalatoris been playing great as well. So, Wyndham Clark, yeah. Those three, I think, can all three top five. That's how good these guys are playing right now. So, that's the Texas Children's Houston Open this week. And then, quickly, in the NBA, man, we are coming down to it. We're getting towards the end. We had some great games on. The Lakers come back from down 19 without LeBron James and beat the Bucks. Austin Reeves, monster game, looked really good. The Mavericks beat the Kings by 40, nearly 40 points. Big win there. Warriors beat the Heat by about 20. Another huge win, another huge blowout. And then the Thunder beat the Pelicans 119 to 112. So some great games, kind of some blowouts, but otherwise, these were a huge game for seeding. All these teams were looking for seeding in their respective conferences, so that was big. And then Thursday we got Celtics-Hawks. Celtics blowing some leads lately in some of these games, but they take on the Hawks team. And the Bucks versus Pelicans, that's going to be phenomenal. Pelicans in the middle of the West. Bucks probably locking up that two seed in the East. See how they come out and play. And then Friday, we got Lakers-Pacers, Timberwolves-Nuggets. one versus one seed. That's going to be really good. I think the Nuggets kind of own the Timberwolves, so get the win there. Suns versus Thunder Friday night. That'll be really good. Like the Thunder in that one. And then Mavericks-Kings again. This one at the Kings. Give me the Kings rematch at home. And then Saturday, Celtics versus Pelicans will be really good. That'll be a really good game. Really, no need to look at the East. I mean, Celtics have the one seed locked up. It's already locked up. They're 11 games up on the second seeded Bucks. 3 through 6, all separated by 3.5 games. So you got the Cavs at 3, Knicks at 4, followed by the Magic and Pacers rounding out that top 6. In the play-in, Heat in the one spot, or Heat tied with the 76ers in that spot, and then Bulls and Hawks rounding out that top 10, and those are going to be your 10 teams. Probably, more than likely, Pacers could switch with the Heat or 76ers, but otherwise, Bulls, Hawks will be in the play-in 100%. In the West, the Nuggets are the one seed again, followed by the Thunder, half a game back, and the Timberwolves 1.5 back of that. So those are your three teams in the West. It is going to stay those three teams. Clippers finally getting Russell Westbrook back. That'll be huge, as they are just 1.5 games up on being out of the play-in. They're in the 6th seed. 5-seed Pelicans, or Clippers are the 4-seed, sorry, followed by the 5-seeded Pelicans and the 6-seeded Mavericks, who are one game in front of the Kings and Suns vying for a non-play-in spot. So Mavericks-Kings coming up this weekend. Going to be huge for play-in or not play-in. And then the Lakers getting a huge win. Looks like they're going to solidify themselves in at least the play-in opportunity by the Warriors. Beefing with the Rockets over here. Looking, see if the Rockets can take a spot from the Warriors, and they miss the play-in. So it's going to be fun coming down. I mean, we just got a few more games left, or just a few more games. That's it. We are almost there. We got less than 10 games left. So I'll be breaking down the NBA postseason coming up here shortly. So get ready for that. All right. Let's go to my final segment, who I'm sharing my burger and brat with. If you like stargazing, if you like going out at night, if you don't like light pollution, seeing all the stars, meteor showers, and planets, well, you don't have to travel far. You can now travel to Oregon. So what a place to stargaze in the world's largest dark sanctuary. Yeah, the world's largest dark sanctuary. Look to Oregon. It's got 3,800 square miles of pristine land. You just, no light pollution, look up at the stars and see all the constellations. It is 1/2 the size of New Jersey and referred to as the Oregon Outback. If the area of the Outback is to be completed, which should be in a few years, they're going to add more. It will encompass 11.4 million acres of protected night skies. That is going to be incredible for these night watchers and everything. That's going to be so much fun to go see in the Oregon Outback. It was created and thanks to the International Dark Sky Places Program, a volunteer community. Their work has created dark sky places, sanctuaries, and parks encompassing 160,000 square kilometers in 22 countries worldwide. So share my burger and brat with the Dark Sky Places Program and now this awesome place in Oregon, which is home to now the world's largest dark sanctuary. So go check that out if you're a star constellation lover. All right, everyone, that's my Sweet 16 picks. It's gonna be one of the best weekends we've ever seen in March Madness. The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are going to be elite matchups. So stay tuned, watch those. Thank y'all for listening. Take care, or thank y'all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats. Hope you watch live on millions.co at Burgers and Brats and stay up to date with listeners on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Stay safe.